Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Alrighty, away we go. Hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Carlos Ortiz, let's get to a little bit of a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So our poll question today, who wins the Nuggets and Timberwolves series? Denver in 6, Minnesota in 6, Denver in 7, Minnesota in 7. The early returns right now, Minnesota in 6 is at 8.2%. Minnesota in 7 is at 21.2%. Denver in 6, 24.7%. And Denver in 7, the winner right now, 45.9%. You could always find that at Zach Gelb or at INF Sportsnet. So, this series looked like it was over after 2-0. Minnesota walked into Denver. They opened up a can of whoop-ass. And then Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic walked into Minnesota. And they not only won Game 3, they also won Game 4. Michael Malone, after Game 4, said everyone prematurely gave up on the Denver Nuggets.
What I found is Rudy T is right, man. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Yeah, I mean, like, they were quick to write us off, you know, but these guys, we won a championship a year ago. You know what I mean? We went into Miami, won 2 games in a row. Like, this team has been tested time and time again, and we found a way to solve whatever's been thrown at us. This series is a long way from being over. We're not celebrating. It's 2-2. So now you have to find a way to win Game 5. But what I found about our group is that they do believe in themselves, and more importantly, they believe in the man next to them. And, you know, we have a group that is acting as you would hope a championship team would act. And they had a bad game. We owned it, and we moved past it, and we played better.
When people say that you prematurely gave up on a team, it also comes with how it was, like, egregious to give up on that team. I don't think it was egregious when Denver was down 0-2, when you lost 2 games at home, to think, okay, Minnesota's going to find a way to just split either games 3 and 4, and then they'll be up 3-1 and they'll find a way to win the series. And I think a lot of people thought, how I thought, that this could still go 6, but Minnesota was going to win the series. But a big reason because of that and why you had that confidence was because Jamal Murray was acting like a child in game 2. You saw him throw a towel to the referee, a heating pad on the court, and do the money sign to the officials. So that told me, not that Jamal Murray is necessarily frustrated with the officiating, that he was frustrated that he wasn't healthy. And if Jamal Murray isn't healthy, then the Nuggets don't win a championship or get out of the second round. And then look, Jamal Murray, after some rest, boom, was really damn good. Nikola Jokic, back to being this unstoppable force. And now this series is at 2-2. So I don't think it was crazy that people gave up on Minnesota. I mean, gave up on Denver. It was warranted because they acted, especially Jamal Murray, like a clown in game 2. But now they've reeled us back in, and yeah, I'm not saying that this series is over. You tell me Minnesota wins this series, I'm not going to call you a dummy. But a lot of people now believe, including yours truly, that, hey, Denver's going to be back to winning this series. And going in, I thought Denver in seven. Then after two games, I thought, okay, Minnesota in six. Now I'm back Denver in seven. Let's go to Anthony Edwards on the long layoff between games two and three. And we know after yesterday, you did have this series get tied up at two apiece, but a lot of people believe game three was the momentum changer, which how dominant Denver was.
I think the 3 days hurt us, actually. Yeah, I think having those after those 2 days, after those two wins, they gave us like 3 days off or 3 days before we play again. And I don't really like that at all. But I think that's why we came out sluggish game three. But I don't think they got any momentum. I mean, we won two games. At this point, it's just whoever win two games. So I don't know how people look at it, but I look at it like I'm happy. I'm ready. We're competing at the highest level, and I'm smiling about it because I'm happy. I'm ready to go play. If we play tomorrow, I'll be ready.
So he's not wrong. The layoff did not help Minnesota because you had Jamal Murray, who was dealing with an injury, and you give him some time to get healthy. And Minnesota was ready to just issue the nail in the coffin when they were up 2-0. So that layoff did behoove Denver. But I don't want to hear that. Like, you drop two games, no one wants to hear excuses. And then you end up saying, oh, you don't feel like momentum has shifted. Momentum has shifted. Now you got to steal it back, though. You had the momentum after game two. After game four, momentum has totally gone back to Denver. And in a best-of-three series, people are going to pick the best dynamic duo in the league in Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray to get the job done. Let's hear Charles Barkley. He was on Inside the NBA, as he is, as always, with the legendary show. And he said, stop comparing Anthony Edwards to the great Michael Jordan.
Please, America, please stop the Michael Jordan stuff. This guy's had one good playoff run. And he's a great player. I think he's going to be a great player. He's a really nice kid. We root for him. We want him to
be. Is he close?
No, hell no.
Close to who?
Close to who? They both black.
You're not close to Mike?
He's not close to Michael Jordan.
At 23?
I'm Michael Jordan was getting, remember, he was scoring
I'm just asking. At 23,
hey,
23 Mike at 23,
Edwards.
I'm just
do
asking.
Not do that.
So the GOAT debates have ruined every way that we have looked at sports. Because you know what the standard is, right? In the NFL, it's Tom Brady. In the NBA, it's Michael Jordan. In hockey, it's the great one in Wayne Gretzky. So you have these standards and you have these iconic names that everyone knows without question, they're the GOAT of their sport. And then you start to find characteristics in other great players that haven't done nearly even the same realm of possibilities as and accomplishments what a Brady, a Gretzky, or a Jordan has. But you see some small similarities and you say, okay, they have a mentality like that. And I'll be the first one to say it. I've done this. I did it with Anthony Edwards. I said he has a Michael Jordan mentality. That's not me saying he's Michael Jordan, but he has the mentality. But our obsession, especially nationally, about who's the GOAT, which I don't even love that conversation. It's my least favorite radio when we have to do LeBron. And I've said this 9,000 times. LeBron up against Michael, my least favorite radio. But even just look at the NFL. Brady's considered the GOAT. He retired for like a year or two. And now people are already saying Mahomes is the GOAT. So you see a few characteristics from the GOAT in someone else, and that's what the conversation now becomes. But people aren't saying Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan. Like, there's a difference in saying someone is Michael Jordan or someone has a mentality or someone is similar to one of those great players. And that's where I think it gets confused and where people take a little excerpt of what someone said and they make it out as if you're saying, okay, Anthony Edwards is already on the same level as Michael Jordan, which no one would say that. Here is Jalen Brunson. The Knicks are up 2-0. Now it's 2-2. They're not making any excuses, even with after all the injuries that they have suffered for losing the last two games.
I mean, we can talk about fresher legs. We can give us all the pity that we want. Yeah, we're shorthanded, but that doesn't matter right now. We have what we have, and we need to go forward with that. So there is no, we're shorthanded. There is no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever.
I love Jalen Brunson. I do. I think he's a phenomenal player, and he's a better leader, which is tough to be a better player than what he is on the court than to do what he does from a leadership perspective. The Knicks are one of those teams, they have every right to use injuries as an excuse. You have Julius Randle out for the season. OG Anunoby now out. You have Mitch Robinson out. Hardenstein dealing with the shoulder. Brunson playing on one foot. They're running out of gas because they're running out of bodies. And they don't sit there and make excuses because they still know, hey, there's still games to be played in this series. This is 2-2. You're going back to the Garden. You win game five, then you're expected to win the series. And that's the – you got to follow the beat of your leader. And Jalen Brunson is sending out the right beat. Let's go to Reggie Miller. This was on TNT during a game. He takes a shot at – is it LeBron? Let's listen up.
We've got certain guys, veteran status in our game, that are on a lot of people's Mount Rushmore that like to deflect and point fingers at others. Here's a 22-year-old saying, this is on me. It's my fault.
Stu, there's only two names that you could think of here. It's Kevin Durant or it's LeBron James. But when he talks about that, like, Mount Rushmore of players, Durant's not on that. LeBron is. Reggie Miller, I have no problem with that opinion, but you can't give an opinion about LeBron and leave it ambiguous. He basically gave you the answer to the test, but give us the full answer to the test. Don't just be like, oh, it's option A, B, C, or D. I would really suggest picking A. No, tell me A is the right answer for sure. And when you're an analyst now, which Reggie Miller has been for a long time, you should not be afraid to call out LeBron James. But there's a lot of people in the NBA community with LeBron and KD that are annoyed with them right now because they're blaming the coaches when the coaches are, you know, there could be a problem, right? Frank Vogel and Darvin Ham, no one's going to say they're the greatest coach ever. But I don't think they're a top two or three reason why those teams did what they did this past year. So, Stu, where are you at right now with LeBron? I like to ask you this like once a week. I know that you were on the line of thinking last time we talked that he'll probably be back, but you'd be fine if he leaves. Is that the same?
Yes, I think he's back, but if he leaves, I wouldn't be heartbroken.
Would you want him back with Bronny and J.J. Redick?
Yeah.
Like, if that's the trio, would you rather have him back or not back?
I mean, if he's not back, that means I don't have to deal with Redick as a coach.
Yeah.
I'd probably take that.
And his arrogant press conference.
I'd probably take that. I'd probably take LeBron leaving and some type of a not J.J. Redick head coach.
Yeah.
You know, someone who has had success in the past and has experience as a coach or an assistant coach. Yes.
Gotcha.
I would take that.
Let's go to Mike McCarthy. I have not heard this yet, but there was, I guess, this weird quote over the weekend on the return of Ezekiel Elliott. Listen up.
Felt like he never left. But he definitely puts you on, you know, puts you on guard, you know, because he's old school. You know, he's an old school guy, and you know, and he'll go up and smack a 60-year-old man in the ass, and it hurts.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, so it's those kinds of things that you just enjoy them. You know, enjoy, not that I enjoy getting smacked in the ass, but just enjoy.
Okay.
Enjoy his personality and having him back in the building and things like that.
I've never heard a head football coach say, you know, I get smacked in the ass and it hurts. Never heard that one. That was an interesting way of putting it by Mike McCarthy. I'm stunned by that. Okay, play me that again, Carlos. One more time.
Felt like he never left. But he definitely puts you on guard, you know, because he's old school. You know, he's an old school guy, and, you know, and he'll go up and smack a 60-year-old man in the ass, and it hurts. So, I mean, you know, so it's those kinds of things that you just enjoy him. You know, enjoy, not that I enjoy getting smacked in the ass, but just enjoy his personality and having him back in the building and things like that.
What is he, Carlos, translate this for me. What is he trying to say? That he enjoys getting hit in the ass by Ezekiel Elliott?
Yes, he's trying to say he enjoys getting smacked in the ass by Ezekiel Elliott because Ezekiel Elliott's leadership is old school.
Yes.
And that's the qualities that he's looking to bring back to the locker room by having Zeke smack old dudes in the ass.
Mike McCarthy goes home. Honey, Zeke smacking me in the ass again. I absolutely love it. We go from Mike McCarthy getting smacked in the ass by Ezekiel Elliott to Urban Meyer, who used to kick his kicker in Jacksonville, now back in with Fox. Urban Meyer, he, I guess, is going off on NIL now. Let's hear Urban Meyer.
There's these things called collectives where they go out and get money from donors, and they get this big, giant mass of money, and they pay players, and that's not what the intent is. Name and likeness, that's America. America is built on name and likeness. If you if Lou Holtz or Urban Meyer or Marvin Harrison Jr., CJ Stroud, they want to go, you know, use their name and help sell cars, help a business, that's great. But to have a 17-year-old demand money for a visit, to pay these players, you know, a lot of money to go visit a, you know, a charity for 20 minutes and they write a check for $50,000, that's cheating. You know, that's not what this is all about. So I'm very disappointed in where it went. Think about this, coach, these other sports. You know, if you're a woman basketball player like the great girl from Iowa, and they want to put her on a billboard and pay her, they should be able to do that. But that's not what happened. What's happened is the arms race of collecting money from donors, and the donors are simply paying players. And that's what I understand is happening, and I don't like that.
You may not like it. You're not coaching anymore. You made a lot of money coaching. So now, since the kids are finally legally getting the money, you have an issue with it on how they're getting it? How is it any different than probably back in the day when you had someone that was a graduate assistant just drop a bag of cash off? Were there not demands, Urban, when you had people do that? Give me a break. I think coaches are just, they come off so lame now when they bitch about NIL. The great coaches will adapt that are actively coaching. Urban doesn't need to adapt. But him just kind of poo-pooing on the whole thing, just, it's ridiculous. It really is. So UFC over the weekend, they had a fight night. And Derek Lewis, I guess, won. And he threw his jockstrap into the stands. And I guess a media member caught it. And now he's having Dana White sign it in the post-match press conference. At first, when I heard this, I was watching it. And I'm like, his cup. Is it a drinking cup? And then I'm like, oh, no, this can't be a drinking cup. This has to be, this is a jockstrap, right? At least this is what I thought it was, judging by Dana White's reaction. Stu looked at me like, did you think this was a drinking cup?
I may or may not have thought until this second that it was a drinking cup.
So now I'm wondering who's right here. I watched the clip. I did not see what the reporter was holding, but judging by Dana White's reaction, I thought this was a jockstrap. But anyway, listen up to the audio.
It's really lucky, fortunate to get that Derek Lewis cup. Would you mind signing it?
I would prefer not to, but...
I mean...
You were very lucky to catch that.
Yeah. It was right in front of me. He signed it, so I really like it.
Today is your lucky day.
I really would like you to sign it.
Okay. sure.
All right. Thank you, Dane.
All right. Why don't you have him sign it? Oh, he did?
Yeah.
All right.
So this is a thing with Derek Lewis. He takes his shorts off after the fight, and he, like, throws it around like it's a T-shirt or, like, a rally towel. Like, I'm going to the Garden tonight for the Rangers game. How they have those rally towels, they wave it around like that, and I guess he threw it into the crowd, and then he had Derek Lewis sign and then Dana White afterwards. That is a very interesting press conference. And Dana's eyes at first were like, you want me to sign this? This is a good moment for it? Like, what the heck are we doing? Alrighty, we could shut it down there. You always want to end a segment talking about another man's jockstrap, right? Carlos Ortiz, imagine if I ended the show and let's say I just threw my boxers at you. And then you had to go to, like, management and do a press conference. Hey, will you sign Zach's box?
Get Marinek and Hurley to, like, sign on a strap.
They're game used. What's the smell? Oh, my God. That's disgusting. I'm not kidding. There's some memorabilia you would like. I've never sat here and said, I want a game used jock strap. You know, let me get that signed. Who's buying that? It's a funny bit by the reporter. I don't think he was serious, but he's making good content out of that. But does this guy, like, does he go home and he hangs it up on his wall? You know how he did the like Mike stuff last week? Does he put the boxers on with the jockstrap and go, be like Derek? Oh, geez, Louise. Coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
All righty, onside, offside time right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, a segment that we do every Monday and Friday. Stu, what do you got cooking for me today?
All right, Zach, so we start with the NFL. Broncos head coach Sean Payton spoke to reporters over the weekend about the league's new kickoff rules and predicted that there would be double-digit touchdown returns this season with a lot more big plays. To put that into perspective, there were only three kickoff returns for touchdowns in 2023, four in 2022, and there hasn't been double digits since 2008, where there was 11. So onsides, offsides, the new kickoff rules will end up being a positive thing for the NFL.
I'm going offside because I think it's too gimmicky. And I don't like what the NFL is doing. They try to care about player safety. They're like, oh, we got to get the kickoff out of the game. Then they'll add extra regular season games, and they want to add another extra regular season game. But, you know, they care about player safety. I know they'll tell me, oh, it's because we're eliminating some of the preseason games. So now they try to eliminate the kickoff, and now they want the kickoff back in, so they just go to this gimmick. Just be honest. You don't really care about player safety, and go back to the way the kickoffs used to be. I don't need to create this gimmicky thing. So the new kickoff rule will end up being a positive thing for the sport. I'm going to say offside. Next one, Stu, what do we got?
Now, Colts rookie wide receiver Adonai Mitchell has selected number 10 as his jersey number for the upcoming season. And the reason why he gave for choosing it was because there were 10 wideouts selected before him in this year's draft. So onsides, offsides, you like the idea of a player picking a number based off of how many players were taken before him.
He got drafted by the Colts, correct?
Yes, the Colts.
Oh, I can hear the take now. This is the toughness that we need. This is the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson's got his guy. Let's go. Heck of a night right here. Yeah. You 1,000% know Hickey's already hyping himself up over this story. You like the idea of a player picking a number based off how many players think? I like that level of pettiness. I really do. So even though we had some fun at Hickey's expense right there, I will go on sides. And you know what? Pains me to say this. I think the Colts are going to have a good season this year. I'm really intrigued to see what Anthony Richardson could do. That team should have made the playoffs last year without Anthony Richardson. Now you get him back. You start paying people. You know, you did a nice job in the draft, too. I got the first defensive player off the board in Laitulatu. I like what the Colts are starting to do and what is going to be a very competitive AFC South.
So the Patriots surprised some last month in the draft when they selected Tennessee quarterback Joe Milton in the sixth round after drafting Drake May with the third overall pick. The team's new executive vice president of player personnel, Elliot Wolf, joined the Adam Schefter podcast this weekend to defend the move.
So I had the opportunity to watch Joe play live the last game of the year against Vanderbilt. And, you know, I got there really early and watched him warm up. And just watching him throw the football is unbelievable. I mean, he's 6'5", 245 pounds. He's got a rocket for an arm. He's athletic. We feel like there's some things that we can work with and develop. It was just one of those picks where there was too much talent in him to pass that up.
So onsides, offsides, it's a good move for teams in the NFL to draft a second quarterback in the draft after taking one in the top five, like the Patriots did here and like the Commanders did when they took Kirk Cousins after RG 3 years ago.
Yeah, because they're an afterthought and no one actually thinks it's an actual competition, but it's good insurance to have. You draft a quarterback, even though Joe Milton has underachieved for most of his college career, we know the arm that he has and how far he could throw the football. But you take him in the sixth round, there's no expectation. No one thinks he's taking Drake May's job. But if, let's say, Drake May gets injured, doesn't meet the hype, the guy's at least been in your system for a few years, and you could give him an opportunity and see with his back up against the wall, when he finally gets the opportunity, if he could find a way to sink or swim. So I have no problem with that when it's done in the proper round. Now, you draft a quarterback in the first round and take someone in the second round, the third round, that don't really make sense to me. But you have that big separation. I think it's fine, and it's worked out in the past. So it's a good move for teams to draft a second QB in the draft after taking one in the top five like the Patriots did here and like the Commanders did when they took Kirk Cousins after drafting RG3. Yeah, I do. On sides, I like that.
Now, during Saturday's game against the Mavs and Thunder, OKC frequently sought out Dallas's Derek Lively II, intentionally fouling him multiple times throughout the game. Despite him being only a 52% foul shooter, Lively made 8 out of 12, including 4 out of 4 down the stretch. Now, the league does have rules that limits the hack-a-shack type of fouls late in the game after 2 minutes remaining in each quarter. But onsides, offsides, you think that the NBA should expand the rule to limit the hack-a-shack strategy?
If that's a strategy you want to use, I don't have a problem with it. So I'll go offside here. The thing I will say, though, is I think it's smart where in the final 2 minutes of each quarter, if you then violate that rule, you get a free throw and then the ball back. So I don't want to see that necessarily at the end of the game. I like the way that this is currently constructed.
So video surfaced on social media yesterday of the Seattle Mariners dropping hot dogs out of the sky on parachutes.
Really?
For fans to catch and eat. Yeah.
Oh.
So onsides, offsides.
Is that why Marash hasn't been in the office?
Oh, he's in Seattle. How about that?
I think it's his birthday today. So happy birthday to Sean Marash, who, by the way, once berated me for saying it was my birthday because it wasn't a milestone birthday. This dude doesn't have a milestone birthday. He's tweeting today. You know, I don't want people, because I'm in my late 30s, saying it's some irrelevant happy birthday, but I just want to point out the Rangers usually win on my birthday. Like, what the heck are you talking about, you hypocrite?
Can't be that guy. Can't be the guy that, yeah, it's very hypocritical by him.
Marash being a hypocrite. I'm shocked.
Who would have thunk it?
Oh, right, Carlos? 1,000% would never think he'd be a hypocrite. Continue. What do you got?
So onsides, offsides, catching a free hot dog at a sporting event is better than catching a free T-shirt.
Absolutely. You don't even know if the T-shirt's going to fit. It could be too big. It could be too small. After one wash, it's usually crappy material. I'd much rather get a hot dog than a T-shirt. And here's the dumbest thing. I know it's on a Thursday, so this isn't my PSA. A lot of times for these Ranger playoff games that I go to, they put a T-shirt on the seat. Then they have a T-shirt toss. And you have people trying to fight for the T-shirt. Dummy, turn around. There's a free T-shirt on your seat. I'd much rather get a hot dog than a T-shirt for free at a game. And I will say this. The Sixers do this promotion. It's like Brickin' for Chicken, I think it's called. If you miss two free throws, the opposing team, they miss two free throws, everyone gets like free Chick-fil-A the next day. The first or second year they did this, or it's at least the first time I saw it in person. This was like years ago. It's back when I live in Philadelphia. I was sitting all the way up top in the auxiliary press box. They had someone press a button and Chick-fil-A came falling down, raining down from the ceiling. So you had Chick-fil-A, like a box of chicken nuggets on a parachute falling down. Now that's something where I'd beat the crap out of someone for free Chick-fil-A. A T-shirt? Give me a break. So, yeah, I'd much rather get the free food at a sporting event than some crappy T-shirt.
All right, and last but not least.
By the way, catching a free hot dog at a game is better than catching a free. Yeah, onsides.
All right, last but not least, as we discussed towards the end of last hour, the Lions are signing quarterback Jared Goff to a 4-year, $212 million contract that includes $170 million guaranteed, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Now, onsides, offsides, you believe that Goff is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now?
I do not. That is offsides, but that does not mean that him having the second highest average annual value salary for a quarterback is a bad decision, because you get paid when it's your time to get paid and you could be a good quarterback and you get great quarterback money. That's what's here with Jared Goff, but that team is ready to win now. Like, it's a lot. This is the first time in my life that you could say you walk into this season believing that the Lions are a team that can win the Super Bowl, that they are a top five team entering this NFL season. But Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, you know, even Brock Purdy. That's 10 right there. Carlos was counting. So that's 10 right there. I think those guys are better than Jared Goff, but you could argue he's right on that 10-9 line. Like, you could make a case for it. I just think he's just on the outside, but this contract is deserved, and you can win with Jared Goff. So I do not think he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Offside.
All righty, that's onside, offside. Real quickly, finish the sentence for me, everybody. The Detroit Lions this year will, and then tell me how far you think they're going to go. Stu.
Win 11 games and reach the NFC Championship game.
Okay. Carlos?
Win the NFC Championship game.
Ooh, so they'll be in the Super Bowl. Manny, what are the Lions doing this year? I feel like Manny's going to just rain on the parade that are the Detroit Lions. See, Manny's not happy as a sports fan, so now he won't let anyone else be happy.
How dare you cast aspersions? I think they'll make the NFC Championship game.
Okay. I'm going to say the Lions lose in the Super Bowl. I'm with Carlos. And I would love to see, and maybe this is just because I just make fun of Vandy for trying to rain on someone's parade. I would be in the mood this year for just a torturous Super Bowl. And what I mean by that is you have two fan bases that never won, and they just go at it, right? Like, imagine we get a Bills-Lions Super Bowl or a Browns-Lions Super Bowl. Like, I don't think the Lions have a shot. The Browns, they have a shot of going to the Super Bowl. But you just take two fan bases that have been dragged through the mud and you finally get them there, I think that would be awesome. You know, even if you get in an AFC or NFC championship game, you know, a few years ago when we had the possibility of Browns and Bills, people were like, imagine those two fan bases with the dog pound. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. And then the Bills Mafia just throwing people through tables. But that would also require the Bills to, you know, get their act together this year, which I think the Bills can. You know, you could be a Super Bowl Bills and Lions. That'd be really fun. That would be fun. Why, you don't like that, Bills and Lions?
I mean, I don't. It's not. I don't think that's what the NFL really wants in regards to. I mean,
you get Josh Allen going up against the Lions. That'd be awesome.
Against the again,
two passionate fan bases.
The Lions. They're Lions.
Who else do you? Are you with the Giants in the Super Bowl?
No, the Giants
Daniel
are
Jones?
Awful. They stink. I have no faith for the Giants right now. Do you, Carlos?
No, of course not. I'm not a moron.
I don't care about the Giants right now.
I'm just asking because you know the Giants start off 2-0. They get two easy cupcake games. We're going to start having, we're back. The Giants are back. We're going to have you two just being a bunch of idiots.
I promise you I will not do any of that if the Giants win two games because I think they're going to stink.
Yeah, Carlos definitely will.
Yeah, I might.
He'll be taking his shirt off, be throwing it into the sand like Derek Lewis did to Dano to the reporter with his jock strap over the weekend.
Oh, maybe my wife will have me on the Ring camera. Maybe she'll catch some, you know, accidental footage. Where did you get that from?
I did like your birthday post to Marash. What did you post on Instagram? I got a chuckle out of it today.
It's a very heartfelt message. I'm like, even though he might be an ass on the mic, off the mic, he's an even bigger ass.
Yeah. I was going to comment on that. You use a wide lens for that picture with the two of you. I can make that joke. Big people to big people can make that
joke. You used to see Sean's response to that one on his Instagram story.
What was it?
He said, Carlos, you have to go back into the way fat era of myself.
It wasn't that long ago, brother.
Yeah, that was a wide shot of Marash. Now, Marash lost some weight.
No, he looks good. He's on the Peloton thing. He looks good. Yeah. Good-ish.
Until I saw Marash without a shirt on when he was getting made into a chicken cutlet at that Boomer and Gina Live.
Yeah, that was rough.
You know, I thought Marash looked a little bit better than that now, but no, Marash does, he's looking better. That was, as someone that has lost a lot of weight, you hate when then like people, it's a big life event or it's some life event and then people post a photo of you when you were like really fat. It's like, can you use a better photo? You went into the what's the word I'm looking
the
for?
Archives?
The archives, thank you.
Did you have another picture of you two together, though?
You were just hanging out with them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, you think I just take photos every time I hang out with people?
Yeah, I saw a photo
of you and him on Twitter.
I don't remember that photo at all.
Yeah, he had too many beers. That's why.
It's very possible. Okay. A lot of Baileys.
You said a lot of Baileys? A
lot of Baileys.
Oh, okay. First I said, I thought you said a lot of babes. I'm like, both you two are married. And then I heard, and then I go, oh, you must have said Baileys. All right, anyway, let's take a break. Here's the latest sports update. We'll play you some Stephen A. Smith audio when we return about Kevin Durant. What's, I like Stephen A. Smith.
I don't.
Well, you know what? Only speak when we ask you to speak, all right? I like Stephen A. Smith. I'm a fan of Stephen A. Smith. Here you go. Ugh. All right. Here's the next update with Manny Rodriguez. Ugh. All righty. So we know three games for this upcoming NFL season. It will open up on September 5th. The schedule comes out on Wednesday, by the way. Ravens at Chiefs. Friday, September 6th in Brazil will be the Packers and the Eagles. And now we know Tom Brady's first game as a broadcaster for Fox. It's the Dallas Cowboys home at Jerry's World on September 8th, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on Fox against the Cleveland Browns. You know, that's a good Sunday 4:00 game, 4:25 game for week one. Because, like, you don't burn – it's not two mega opponents. Like, don't get me wrong. Ravens and Chiefs, isolated spot on a Thursday, everyone's going to watch. You want to do a special Brazil game? I wish you wouldn't do a game that has a lot of good potential with the Eagles and the Packers. And I don't love that necessarily being a Friday, but I'm okay with an isolated spot. You know, Sunday, that first football Sunday, you have a few games going on in the 4:00, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window. I get why you go with the Cowboys. Putting Cleveland there is a good spot because like, Cleveland's not great. They're not bad. You know, they're a team that could be 10 or 11 wins. It could also be a 9-win team or an 8-win team. You know, they have one of the more talented rosters in the NFL, and it doesn't seem like, you know, there's a ton at stake in that week one matchup. So I do like that matchup between the Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns for week one on a 4:25 p.m. Eastern time game on Fox. Okay, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bill in Arizona says, Zach, do you think Kevin Durant will see the end of his contract with the Phoenix Suns? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Kevin Durant, I guess, is not happy right now. We know Frank Vogel is out as their head coach. Budenholzer is going to take over the reins there. But it seems like Mr. Durant is still not thrilled. This was on First Take earlier this AM. Here is Stephen A. Smith. We'll play you two parts of this. Here's part one, talking about Kevin Durant and some of his frustration.
Here's where Mike Wilbon didn't go into details that all of us covering the NBA are fully aware of. Kevin Durant in Phoenix is a problem. It is a problem. We don't see it because the stats are there. Him and Booker average 27 points per game and what have you. But they say Kevin Durant is never happy. They say that he went more than a month without even talking to the head coach. They say that he doesn't look happy there. And all he wants to do is play when the game starts and tip-off time arrives, but when it comes to ingratiating yourself with your teammates and getting along with everybody and stuff like that, he just lives in his own world.
A lot to unpack there. Let's hear one more, though. This is the next part of Kevin Durant getting discussed by Stephen A. Smith.
He's not hated. He's not despised. He's not doing anything negative. He's not being somebody that's two-facing and behind people back doing stuff. No, that's not who he's Kevin Durant himself. Is. But keeping to himself. Why does that matter? It's similar to what he was doing in Golden State before he ultimately departed, which is what was driving Draymond Green crazy, which is why they ultimately got into it on the court in that Clippers game and what have you. Because you hear stuff, you hear stuff, you hear about the level of unhappiness, et cetera, and you get tired of it because when you don't want to talk and when you don't want to answer questions, you don't want to lead in a very visible way, well, that forces other people to have to step up and take on a level of culpability that they don't want to stomach.
You don't know exactly what is true and what is false. Stephen A. Smith has a big background, though, covering the NBA. I know now a lot of us look at Stephen A. Smith as a character on First Take. I have a lot of respect for Stephen A. Smith, but he was an old-school journalist back in the day. The thing is, though, I'm so tired of Kevin Durant. Just retire already. You know, you wanted to be a villain in Golden State. Then you were annoyed that you weren't getting enough credit by people on Twitter with egg faces. Then you end up going to Brooklyn to try to do it your way. You team up with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving was a royal pain in the ass in Brooklyn. You didn't have it in you to tell Kyrie to shut up. Okay, you finally get your way. You get traded to Phoenix. Frank Vogel comes in. I'm not saying Frank Vogel's a great coach, but after 1 year, you get rid of him. And I know Mike Budenholzer's won a championship, but just like Frank Vogel, he's won a championship too. So why is Budenholzer going to be that much better than Frank Vogel? And the thing that annoys me, and all that commentary by Stephen A. Smith, like Durant wasn't talking to Vogel, and the teammates aren't annoyed at him. So, like, he's just showing up. He's being aloof. You know, doesn't have a good attitude. Doesn't that attitude drain the room? But what, people are afraid to call it out, Kevin Durant? Like, that's what people are afraid. Because they know he runs the organization, and Matt Ishbia is probably going to do whatever he says. I'm just so tired of an NBA superstar like Durant. You take no accountability. You lose. You make it as if you know what, if your you know what doesn't stink, and it's never your fault. It really sucks that this is now how we have to talk about Kevin Durant. This guy was on a trajectory of being a top 10 player of all time. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to sit here and say he isn't a top 20 player of all time. But he was on a trajectory of being a top 10 player of all time. And whenever Kevin Durant retires, I'll answer the question that was asked to me by Bill in Phoenix or Arizona. When Kevin Durant's career ends, though, which I don't think now, he'll stay in Phoenix. 2026, you already started to drop this stuff that, oh, you know, he's about how he acts in the locker room. This guy never takes accountability. He likes playing basketball, though. It appears, though, like it feels like he doesn't like playing basketball by how upset this guy always is. So that's why I say just retire. So no, I do not think Durant is going to finish his career with the Phoenix Suns. But it's a joke that he won't. The Nets did everything you asked. Phoenix has done everything you asked. And the reality of the situation is you and your teams have not been good enough when they need to. That's as simple as it is. Your teams haven't been good enough. But no accountability ever happens. None. It's always, oh, a coach's fault. Or, like, what is Durant not happy about? You're not happy you're not winning. Okay, I get that. But happy to a point where you basically show up and you're detached from your locker room. If that Stephen A. Smith stuff is true. It's just ridiculous. Alrighty. That will do it for me today. I will be back tomorrow. Shane Beamer is going to join us, the head football coach at South Carolina. J.J. McCarthy is going to join us later in the week at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see who else will pop up on the show. I am out Friday this week, but we are here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for some kick-ass shows. I'm going to make my way to Madison Square Garden. Puck drop going to be at about 7 p.m. Eastern time. Delta 9, Brian says, should I be looking for Zach at the Canes-Rangers game tonight? You will probably not see me. I'm not where I sat for the Knicks game the other night, which is right behind the bench. I think I may be sneaking my way into a luxury box tonight, though. I'm in section 210, if anyone's there, but I got invited into a luxury box tonight, so I'm going to be doing my best Marash in honor of his birthday. Be drinking and eating a whole lot. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Thank you, always, for tuning on in. Big thanks to Carlos with the K, Manny Rodriguez, and Stuart Kovacs as well. All righty, everybody. Talk manana, and let's hope the Rangers eliminate the Hurricanes tonight. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.